and welcome to this week's episode of On the Box, the show where we talk about, well, TV and other random conversations. We say a show, it's more of a, well...
We're something. Yes.
Much like that introduction was something.
Yes.
Well, I had something in my head and it just went straight away.
Okay, so who are you, mysterious stranger?
Well, I think I'm Andy, but after that introduction, I don't know what I am anymore.
Yes. What about me and the other person here?
We don't get names.
We've already spoken.
Well, we only get names once we've rubbed the lotion on the skin.
Oh, we get the hose again.
Anyway, I'm with two... Well, really, really weird presenters, as always. One is Andrew, and one is Rob.
I'm one of those two.
Yeah. I'm the other one of those two.
And we'll never say which.
Well, if you figure out which one we are, you may win a prize.
Answers on a postcard.
Well, that's a reason you never have me do the opening on the show.
Anyway, before we go any further, On the Box is part of the Geek Show Podcast Network, and we like what we do, and we like watching TV, and if you like what we do, then show your support, make a donation, or buy one of our lovely bits of merchandise. You'll find all those links for those things on our website, thegeekshow.co.uk, and if you want to get in touch with us, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Google+, or just email us, studio@thegeekshow.co.uk. And now on to... our regular programming.
Yes.
Did you guys know there's going to be a prequel to The Big Bang Theory?
No, because there isn't.
And apparently this program is not going to be about the early life of Sheldon Cooper.
No, because that would be stupid.
Yeah, and they haven't got the Big Little Lies actor Ian Armitage, who apparently isn't nearing a deal that won't see him taking on the role of the young Sheldon Cooper.
That was too many negatives, Rob. You almost made it sound like this is the thing that's actually going to happen. But as we know, it's not. Because who would dare make a prequel to the goddamn Big Bang? Is the Big Bang Theory still going?
Yes.
Is that not being cancelled?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
And apparently, Melissa Roche and Mayim Bialik, their contract was the only reason they haven't announced another two seasons.
Jeez, how do they get those ratings based entirely off an audience of people too lazy to change the channel and corpses?
It's America.
Do you think
everything gets about 10 seasons now?
But yeah, I don't understand. I get when I gave up watching The Big Bang Theory, I was kind of public about it because I mentioned it on this show, the fact that I'm done and I haven't gone back. You know, I haven't actually gone back to watch it. You know, it might turn up if I'm channel hopping, but I'm like, you know, I can't be bothered. You know, I really can't. I have better things to waste my time on than that.
What series is it actually on now? Was it so big?
Was it 9 or 10 or something like that? I lasted for all the way up to the, I think...
Yep, like, 10 seasons, 224 episodes.
That's the same as Friends, isn't it?
Got it. Yeah, there are going to be more episodes of The Big Bang Theory than of the most famous and beloved sitcom ever made.
Well, I mean, usually I hate it when anything goes over 10 seasons because usually they start running out of ideas.
Yeah, but the reason why The Big Bang Theory keeps coming up with these semi-jokes... And I use the term semi-jokes because you need to be half intelligent to actually laugh at them. And the reason why they keep coming up with it...
I think even calling them that is... Like, one of the jokes is literally Sheldon laughs at Howard because he's an engineer.
Yeah,
that's it. That's the entire joke. There's no, like, clever plan. There's no point at which Howard strikes back with an equally funny jab. No, it's just...
Oh no!
Jumping on someone because of their job.
No. There was there have been moments when Howard has struck back, but the way they have Howard striking back is completely childish and inane. And you're just like, well, hang on, you're supposed to have, you graduated from MIT with a master's. Fine. But that means you're a little bit above this kind of thing. Like sitting naked in Sheldon's spot with Sheldon's laptop on his junk is one of Howard's revenges.
Because Sheldon quite obviously has some form of autism and doesn't understand social situations, and that's hilarious, guys. That's a laugh at the mental illness.
Yeah, exactly.
God, I hate the Big Bang Theory.
I think, though, I mean, I haven't watched too much of this, but you could help me here. Has it evolved as it went through the show, or have they basically kept it the same?
I think it's evolved into kind of a Kafka-esque horror show about a group of people who clearly hate each other and yet are condemned to spend every waking moment in each other's company.
That's kind of an accurate statement, because when you think about it, what they've basically done with The Big Bang Theory is do exactly what they did with Friends. They introduce the characters to a bunch of relationships, so all of the characters are either married or have girlfriends, except for Raj, who apparently can't get girlfriends because Asian people are too needy and too clingy, especially Asian astrophysicists who have doctorates and are from rich families. And I'm sitting there thinking, hang on, he's from a really wealthy family in India, which means he's had a pretty good upbringing. And if he's got that upbringing, that means that he can be into comic books and video games as much as he wants. Nobody's going to criticize him in India.
Yeah, but see, the thing is, Rob, he reads comic books, so he's a socially incompetent nerd.
Yeah.
It's funny. It's really funny, Rob. Let's all laugh at it.
Yeah.
Let's keep laughing. Laugh some more.
But that's my point. That's the Western stereotype. But he's from a wealthy family in India. I just want to emphasize that to the producers of The Big Bang Theory, he's from a wealthy family in India. Where a lot of people are poor, wealthy families in India.
You think Chuck Law would spend even a single second researching what things are actually like?
I mean, let's put it this way, right? In India, they have a politician who used to go around murdering men as part of a revenge trip for her being gang raped in her village, right? They even did a movie about it called Bandit Queen, and her name's Poonam Devi. And she's basically a politician now, right? India is a very crazy place. If you have money, then nobody really cares if you're into comic books and video games. They'll still worship you.
God, I wish we could have a prime minister called the Bandit Queen.
Yeah, I mean, nobody messes with her.
Awesome.
Let's put it this way. None of the other politicians mess with her.
Does she, like, have a special theme tune that plays whenever she shows up?
I wish she did. I really wish she did, because she was savage. You know how we had Margaret Thatcher and all the men were afraid of just her tone and her voice? If Margaret Thatcher was up against Poonam Devi, I know who I'm putting my money on, because only one of them had won in that fight.
I would also absolutely watch the sci-fi original movie Iron Lady versus Bandit Queen.
That would be... I would watch that as well. That does sound like an amazing, amazing show. So, Chuck Law, there you go. The strongest character in your Big Bang Theory should actually be Raj. He should have that arrogance, and he is arrogant, but there's no way he'd be socially awkward or inept or anything like that.
Because what's even the point of any of the characters? It's basically a show about a bunch of successful scientists with attractive girlfriends.
Yeah.
Who were somehow also meant to be losers.
Well, I've always said my favourite character in The Big Bang Theory is Mayim Bialik's character, right? And it's just, she's got this really dark sense of humour, and of all of the characters, she actually seems the most normal and the most grounded, which is a weird thing to say about a show like The Big Bang Theory.
I did like her until the episode which made me decide I'm not even going to do like my occasional check-in to see what The Big Bang Theory is doing.
Which episode was that?
Like the one where she finally, again, after like years of constant nagging and borderline harassment,
yeah,
pressures Sheldon, who, again, is quite obviously autistic and has clear physical intimacy issues, into having sex with her.
Yes.
And that was just a bit uncomfortable.
Yeah. I wasn't sure about that episode either. And up until that point, I really liked her as a character. And I remember all the, you know, all the good moments from that character. But after that, it just kind of went weird. And
Big Bang Theory.
That's around the time when I said, I'm out, I'm done. But up until then, she was great as a character, you know? A little bit clingy, a little bit needy, but also hilarious at times.
Yeah, she had, like, actual jokes.
Yeah. I mean, that thing about her wanting to get married in the UCLA cadaver lab. She wanted to go there and play a real-life operation, sorry. Because when you collect the electrodes up, you can get the leg to kick.
That's a joke. That's an actual funny joke.
I was, the first time I heard that joke, I was, these things always seem to happen while I'm drinking something, and I don't know why. And I think it's a universal plot against me, but I was drinking some juice at that point, and I almost choked. I was like, how the hell did they get that in there? That's clearly very, very black humour in just a normal sitcom. So, yeah, that's one of the reasons I liked her. And I didn't know, you know, when she was doing Blossom?
I'm pretty sure you've mentioned this exact same thing before, that she was Blossom.
No, the thing I didn't know, though, is, you know the guy who plays Leonard?
Yeah.
He was apparently her first kiss in Blossom.
Huh.
I didn't know this.
That would be interesting if it weren't for the fact that I now know an extra piece of trivia about the Big Bang Theory and so want to, like, drill a hole in my skull.
Sorry. Well, anyway, they're not making a prequel to the Big Bang Theory. Nobody's been casting it. It's all a weird cheese dream that somebody has dreamt up. There is no news. That's it. End of story.
No. No, Rob. I can't do it anymore. It's a real thing and it's happening and we have to accept it.
Do we have to?
Otherwise, we're the ones making the fake news.
Okay. Anyway, moving on to the next piece, which I believe you have, Andy.
Yep. This one will no doubt be quite good news for Andrew. Anyway, this is that the full cast has been set for Marvel's Inhumans, which is going to premiere with an 8-episode season later this year.
I was going to say, Andy.
No one likes the Inhumans, Andy. No one cares about the Inhumans.
I used to like them. Once upon a time, I used to think they're not too bad, but this was when they were perennially kind of away, apart from the rest of humanity. They had their single city, Attilan, and it was hidden away because they didn't really... It was a bit like Namor and Atlantis, or Namor and Atlantis. It was a bit like that, where they were just, you know, they were aloof and apart from the rest of humanity. They didn't really mix with humanity. Humans didn't really mix with the Inhumans. Everybody stayed at arm's length, and everybody was fine with that, right?
And now they're just the X-Men with the serial numbers filed off.
Exactly. And that's just kind of... it's ridiculous. I mean, yeah.
From looking at it, it does look like an X-Men... copy, basically.
Yeah.
Although it's Marvel, still. But.
You say they've got the cast. Who have they got playing who?
They've got... I have to watch, see if I can pronounce some of these.
This should be fun, Andrew, by the way.
Oh my God, this is going to be amazing, isn't it?
Yes.
There's a M. Ikwokraw. Isabel Cornish.
Who are they playing? Don't just tell us who they
are. I'm reading it. Sonia Balmores and Ellen Woglom. I think so. Have I got that right?
Yeah.
It says, I've joined this, completing casting of key roles for the Marvel series. I hope it tells me what these are.
I can tell you who they are.
For a second, I was thinking, I don't remember an Inhuman called Key Role.
Although Key Role would be a great name for a human. Just some guy carrying a key and rolling around. He combat rolls in and combat rolls out.
Is it Conor McGregor?
Yes, it could be Conor McGregor. We have the ultimate role for Conor McGregor.
He is the ultimate role.
He's kind of like Lockjaw. He's got the key. What he does, he opens a door in reality that people can go through. It's like a gateway because he is the key master and he combat rolls. So obviously, key role.
He's the rolls.
Okay.
And I mean the cast rolls, not like baked rolls.
Yes.
These are just the new ones. Am I saying these right, by the way?
Go on. Say it and I'll tell you.
It says M. Iquakor.
M. Iquakor, I'd say. M. A. Iquakor.
As Gorgon.
Okay.
Isabel Cornish as Crystal.
Yeah.
Mike Moore as Triton.
Okay.
Sonia Balmores as Auran.
Yep.
And Ellen Wogolom as an undisclosed character who is described as smart, intense, and focused. So focused that oftentimes social skills take a back seat. Her job at a private aerospace company is her life, second only to her passion for all things space and lunar. She's primed to be swept up in an adventure.
Space and lunar.
Sorry, space and what?
And lunar. How old is this character or this actress?
We'll have a look.
Ellen Wogolom.
Wogolom or Wogolom, I don't know. 29.
Oh, okay, no. She is not playing Moon Girl.
No, she's not. Not playing Moon Girl.
But you do have, as well, Anson Mount, who's playing Black Bolt, Ewan Rian, who's playing Black Bolt's younger brother, Maximus Nomad.
Okay, yeah.
Surinder Swan will play Queen Medusa, and Ken Leung will play Karnak, who I accidentally thought it said Ken Jeong. And I'm thinking, that'll be funny. Because it's spelled exactly the same.
Also, I kind of love how, like, Andy's just read all of that. And he has no idea about the words he's just said.
No,
I thought I knew who Ken Leung was. But I thought it was the one out the Hangover, but it's not. That's Ken Jeong.
You probably know who Ken Leung is. He's been in a lot of stuff.
He has. And,
I know who he is.
He was the best named character in Lost. Because he played Dr. Miles Straum.
And I know who Ewan Rian is, obviously.
Yeah, that's going to be pretty cool, because he's basically just playing Ramsay Bolton again.
Yeah. I'm wondering who's going to play Lockjaw.
Lockjaw's in it.
Yeah.
It won't be a person, will it?
No, but... It'd be,
it's a dog.
Let's put it this way. I have seen Benedict Cumberbatch, Emerson Cumberbund. I've seen Emerson Cumberbund doing mocap for Smaug the Dragon. In the Hobbit.
So maybe he will be Lockjaw as well.
Exactly.
He'll show up in his mocap suit. Like a fork glued to his head.
Now you know exactly the type of the footage that I'm talking about as well.
Yeah. Just him like crawling around on the ground going, crawl! Yeah.
Exactly. So
acting is silly sometimes.
When I saw that, I was like, my God, they do earn their wage, don't they?
Oh, that reminds me. Andy, I've got another fun fact for you.
Mm-hmm.
So for a lot of the Inhumans, those are like their actual names. Obviously, Black Bolt is a code name. Don't know what Black Bolt's real name is. Blackagar Boltagon.
Do you think they had the brainstorming session and they're like, what should we call him?
Sorry, it's just because the characters were created by Stan Lee and Jack Kirby in 1965, and Stan Lee is notorious for his alliteration. But Blackagar Boltagon was just I know it was the 60s and everything, Stan, but
I don't get that. That's his character real name, because to be honest, that sounds more like a Yu-Gi-Oh card than everything else.
If we put it in modern terms, it's...
I put Black Bolt face down in defense mode.
Thing is, in modern terms, it's a bit like Will Smith, right? Because you know what Will Smith's first name is?
I want to say William, but I feel like that's too obvious.
That's too obvious. Philip. Hey?
Philip.
No, his first name is Willard.
Ah. Willard? No.
Seriously. I'm pretty sure, because he mentioned it on Graham Norton a while ago, that his mum called him Willard.
Oh my God. Willard Carroll Will Smith Jr.
No, you see, that
I'm supposed to look at people's names.
It is kind of the modern equivalent of Black Bolt, isn't it?
To be honest, I'd shot in my name as well.
If you were called Willard Carroll Baltigon Smith Jr.
I am absolutely having two boys when I grow up, just so that I can know one Blackagar and the other Willard.
Oh, can you imagine if they're having a fight and you have to tell them to stop? Blackagar, Willard, stop fighting now.
When you just say Blackagar without the second name, it sounds like a Pokemon.
It does. Blackagar, I choose you. No, his surname is even more like a Pokemon. Baltigon.
That's a Digimon. Baltigon used Digimon. They end in on, don't they?
Yeah. What was that you said?
God, Andy, they end in specifically Mon. God. What, you grew up in the 90s, Andy. What are you doing? What are you doing? How do you not know this?
Right, okay. Shall we move on from Blackagar, Baltigon, and Willard Carroll?
What was the story again?
What was it? Willard Carroll Will Smith Jr., was it?
Yeah, that's his full name.
Sorry, Will Smith, but we are going to be using your full name from now on. We're going to move from there to Arnold Schwarzenegger, who apparently is not going to be back on The Celebrity Apprentice, right? He's ruled himself out after one season, but he's ruled himself out for specific reasons. Part of it was the ratings. The ratings weren't that great, but he said he learned a lot, he had a great time, and it was a great opportunity. But under the circumstances, I don't want to do it again. Now, a lot of people have been speculating what those circumstances were until we discover that those circumstances are President Donald J. Trump.
Oh, there he is.
He had to make an appearance at some point.
Speaking somewhere.
Yeah, he had to make an appearance at someone at some point. Did you see? He's actually trying to claim some sort of responsibility for the Oscars flub. He's saying bit of it was his fault.
In a show where we have Blackagar Baltigon and Willard Smith, he is still the most ridiculous person.
No. Here's the thing. Schwarzenegger has said, it's not about the show because everyone I ran into came up to me and said, I love the show. But I turned it off because as soon as I read Trump's name, I'm out of there. NBC did everything they could to promote the show, and producer Mark Burnett, did a fantastic job. No one really knew that this was going to happen, and I think that everyone was caught off guard because Donald Trump is still a producer on the show and tweeted out, yes, Arnold Schwarzenegger did a really bad job as governor of California and even worse on The Apprentice, but at least he tried hard.
God, he's a real person. Yes. He actually exists in the world.
Yep.
And he runs an entire country.
Well, that's not the worst part. The worst part is Oprah is now thinking of running for President of the United States in 2020.
So is The Rock. That's going to be a hell of a...
Yeah, but no, Oprah's going to win.
Oh, no,
Oprah's
going to
win.
If Oprah wants to run for president, she will be president.
Yeah, let's put it this way. Oprah will win by the simple expedient of you get a car, you get a car, you get a car.
What if that's just all her policies?
No, and then at the end of it...
You get free healthcare. You get free healthcare.
No. What if at the end of it, though, she rips her face off and she's Cthulhu, like in the robot chicken thing? So, yeah, but they're also saying, what if celebrities in the UK start running for MP positions and stuff like that? Because right now it's just politicians, but if David Beckham wanted to become MP somewhere or leader of his party, who's going to run against him? Who's going to win?
I could see Alan Moore running.
Yeah.
Just Alan Moore and the Elder Snake God party.
Is this like Lord Such and the Monster Raving Loony party?
Probably Neil Gaiman, like Chancellor of the Exchequer as well.
No, not Neil Gaiman. Neil Gaiman's dog as the Chancellor of the Exchequer. But what if celebrities follow the trend of Trump or the Trump trend?
Oh, no.
You know, and start running for political positions. Can you imagine the carnage? Career politicians just, you know, unemployed, sitting in a pub, drowning their sorrows because they can't beat celebrity status.
Oh, God, it'd be like that story we had on this show a while ago of, like, all the children's authors getting uppity because celebrities are taking their jobs.
Exactly. So, what sort of experience have you got doing a national budget? Well, I scored a free kick a few times. I'm good at dribbling with a ball. What if it's that person whose only TV experience is reality TV, going from one reality TV show to another? Because there's several people like that. What if that, you know, what if they become the defense secretary or something like that?
Well, Linda McMahon can be head of small business in the US now.
What? Linda McMahon?
Yes.
Are we talking the wife of Vince McMahon?
Yes, the wife of Vince McMahon, who owns a business that purposely had put smaller businesses out of business over the last 30 years.
Is now the head of small business.
Small business.
Linda McMahon.
I've seen the future. Today, President Kardashian outlawed fat people.
That's
the future. Yeah. That's what's going to happen.
Let's see. President Kardashian, Vice President J-Lo. Oh, God, no. It's not going to be President Kardashian. You know what it's going to be. It's going to be President Kanye.
Oh, no.
See, I was going to say that would be President West, but no, he would absolutely call himself President Kanye.
He would, wouldn't he? I'm not even going to do the power bit. I'm done with that. I'm not doing it.
We'll probably get a fictional character.
He is a fictional. No, he is a fictional character.
We already saw Ali G become a member of parliament in that film. Could happen in real life now.
Seriously, if Sacha Baron Cohen basically had Ali G run for parliament, I reckon he'd get in.
Would you vote for him?
Not personally, because I don't live in his area, so I couldn't really vote for him because he's, you know.
Does anyone even know who Ali G is now?
A lot of people still do. A lot of people still do. They wouldn't vote for Borat or Bruno because, obviously, they're foreign and they can't run for it.
Oh, my God. This is going to be like the new young-old divide, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Ali G, the people had no idea who he is.
Oh, but seriously, they reckon that that might be the trend for the future, celebrities getting into politics because of Donald Trump, because he's now the president of the US, and celebrities up till now have never thought, ooh, real political power.
It can't get any weirder now.
We've basically gone through the looking glass. We are on that weird world on the other side that Alice first discovered. It's like
Cheshire Cat 2020.
Yeah. Seriously, it is. The world is getting more and more like suddenly everybody dropped an acid at the same time. Everybody in the world suddenly is hallucinating exactly the same thing.
What if we did? What if we just all wake up a few days from now with like a massive headache?
Going, what the hell did I do? And we look over and we see a picture of President Trump. We go, no. We try and sneak away, but we can't. The reality is too horrible.
We say we'll call him, but we never will.
And spend the rest of our lives regretting that one incident that we can't remember. And let us never speak of this again.
Much like this story.
Yes.
Huh. Hey. Did you know? You know that Celebrity Apprentice?
Yeah.
They actually changed the lines to suit these films. Like, you changed "You're Fired" to "You're Terminated," which we joked about last year.
Yep.
He actually did it. And instead of sending them to a limo, he sent them to a helicopter just so we could say get to the chopper at the beginning of every episode.
So in the final episode, was he like slowly lowered into a pit of lava?
No, if they're terminated, are they slowly lowered into a pit of lava? Or in this case, a pit of steaming hot Sunny D.
Oh my God, what if that's like Donald Trump's Joker-esque origin story?
Oh my God, you are onto something.
Fell into a vat of Sunny D.
You are onto something. We're going to take a break there, unless you've got another story, Andy.
Nope. I can try and think of one off the top of my head, but
no,
it won't be good.
No, that's fine. We're going to take a break there, and we'll be back in a moment.
Hello, this is Ryan from the Geek Show Podcast Network. Do you like trees? What about paper? What about words? Yes, words are good. Then you will like Literally Loitering, only available on the Geek Show Podcast Network.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back. Now we're going to be talking about what we've been watching. So, guys, what have you been watching?
Well, I've been watching a DVD box set that we got sent in, Apple Tree Yard.
Apple Tree Yard?
Yep, it was a kind of drama miniseries on BBC Two. No, BBC One, even. The big fancy channel.
Yeah.
It's out on DVD now. So it's basically about a woman called Yvonne Carmichael, played by Emily Watson, who's kind of a bit of a bored middle-aged housewife. And she starts an affair with a mysterious man who she only knows as X.
And this isn't a mutant thing, is it?
No, it's despite having an X-man, it is not about mutants.
Okay.
And I don't lost my train of thought now.
Sorry.
Yeah. They have an affair, but as they do, she begins to realize that there's some mysterious goings on with her new boyfriend. Like, he seems very paranoid. Seems to have to know a lot about camera placements and what such.
Yeah.
And she begins to believe he might be a spy.
Okay.
And then some other stuff happens.
Okay.
Yeah, it's, to be honest, it's not a recommend.
Is it not?
No, it's one of those dramas that's kind of very drawn out, very slow paced, just so melodramatic. Like, a lot of it's framed with basically Yvonne in her house typing out these kind of diary entries about what's going on. It's always so over the top. Literally, the opening scene is going on some long monologue about how she doesn't know what the word civilized means anymore.
Okay.
And, like, there's this one scene where it's, like, it's obviously quite a, it's a very serious scene. Basically, Yvonne, she gets assaulted by a co-worker, and she's there kind of talking to the police about it. And, like, as she is, she's like, oh, and by the way, also, my mother killed herself when I was 9, and oh, also, by the way, my son has bipolar disorder. It's just, it's supposed to be serious, but it's just so ludicrous the way it's constantly like, oh, and here's another traumatic thing that happened to me in the past.
Okay.
You know, like, you get TV shows like that where they're like, oh, we're going to be dramatic, but the only way we know how to do that is just to have a ridiculous amount of terrible things happen to our guy. Basically, like The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
That's just, look, here's another horrible thing happening to a person. This is high drama.
It's not. It's just kind of abject misery, and it's not really entertaining.
Yeah. Or to make it worse, it actually is entertaining, but because of just how ridiculously over the top it all is.
Yeah, but then you have to purposely make it ridiculously over the top, and that requires a degree of self-awareness.
Oh, yeah. No. I didn't say it was intentionally entertaining.
Oh, God. Right.
So, yeah, that's pretty much Apple Tree Yard in a nutshell. It's not a particularly enjoyable show to watch.
Hmm.
Yeah. Okay. I struggled with it.
It sounds like it. It sounds like it.
You know those shows where you're watching it and you think, surely it must be over by now.
Yeah.
And it's been about 25 minutes.
Yeah.
So it's one of those kind of shows.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
It's not something you'll be watching again, then.
No. Yeah, so that's pretty much me done on it. So,
Andy, do you want to go next?
Yep. This is a more happier, but still a little bit negative for what I've been watching.
Oh, also, Yvonne's husband had an affair. I realised I missed out another piece of misery that gets heaped on.
Okay. Anyway.
Yeah, back to you.
I've been watching The Nightly Show.
The Nightly Show? And yes. Is this the one with David Walliams?
Yeah. What the purpose of it? It's the UK's attempt at your daily shows, like the Daily Show in America. So the late night shows, that type of thing.
So kind of taking the mickey out of the news, or is it a chat show?
You get a few sketches, and you get interviews with... it's like a half a talk show type of thing. There was Martin Clunes and Nina Conti on the first show.
Okay, so aiming high then.
But you also had David Hare, Tom Payne, and Ross Marquand, who's Aaron in Walking Dead.
Okay.
On it. So you get quite a few different range. But anyway, this one it's only half an hour. So there's not really much to put in it. But for what it is, I mean, I've been watching it and it's been okay. But this is where it stands out for me. The ratings it dropped by over half after the first episode. So it wasn't very positive.
Yeah.
But every week there's a different host. So you're not going to get the same show every week.
Okay.
Next week it's John Bishop. Then you've got Davina McCall. Then they're not sure what the week after is going to be. But Gordon Ramsay then has the last week presenting. So I'm definitely going to watch that week. But it's new. It's the only thing that I could say that's bad about it is the length. Because half an hour for a talk show that includes sketches doesn't really flesh it out, but if it went for an hour, I think it really could have made something.
Yeah.
So a bit of positive and a bit of negative there as well.
Yeah, because that seems like it's like a full talk show and sketches as well.
Hmm.
That's a lot to try and pack into half an hour.
And it's pushed the news at 10 back to half 10.
So it's no longer the news at 10?
No.
That's just a bit of a mouthful though, isn't it? Welcome to the news at 10:30. Oh, no.
Oh, welcome to the news that used to be at 10, but is now not because of the nightly show.
Which is only on weeknights, so it doesn't make sense.
No, because we're not bitter. See, if they introduced the news at 10 like that, I might start watching again.
Just like, can they have like a half-drunk bottle of whiskey next to them?
Yeah.
Maybe they've let the stubble grow out a bit.
Oh, it's been renamed to ITV News.
See, the thing is, I don't know why just for David Walliams they moved it around to giving him the 10 o'clock slot, because the news at 10 has been a stalwart for ITV for years.
Yeah, you think it would make more sense just to put this on at half 10.
This is only running for 8 weeks at the minute.
Doesn't matter.
So it moves straight back up, but...
Thing is, it doesn't matter. It sets a precedent that maybe ITV shouldn't have messed with. Mm. You know,
they're trying to get
a hip younger audience, just like everybody else.
Sure, I think the question you have to ask though is, how does it compare to something like the Graham Norton show?
Well, you can't really compare it. The interviews, firstly, Graham Norton has, as Rob said the other week, I don't think anybody can touch him interview-wise and hosting-wise in that scenario. David Walliams doesn't really gel. That might be some of the reason why the ratings dropped. I think what it needs is it just needs to shake up every week. So I can't really compare them, but it is basically a slimmed-down talk show with a few sketches for half an hour. So... We'll see how it goes.
To me, it sounds like the kind of thing, I don't know why you would watch it when you can watch Graham Norton instead. And again, I guess it depends like who that week's host is.
Well, it finishes 5 minutes before Graham Norton starts.
That's awfully convenient, isn't it?
It's about half 10, I think, Graham Norton's on, isn't it? Or something like that.
See, I like that as the kind of quickly we have to get off the air, Graham's coming.
Yep. they can't compete with the behemoth that is Graham Norton. And
see, I think of them as like the little kids playing talk show, but then dad comes home.
Actually, yeah. Because
get out the office.
Can you imagine the next time David Walliams is going to be on Graham Norton?
It's not just David Walliams, though.
No, but the thing is, I can just imagine the next time David Walliams is on, and Graham's going to say, so now you have your own talk show, don't you?
And then the rest of the show is just him staring at David Walliams in absolute silence.
While the audience just looks at David Walliams and goes, schooled.
Maybe they could even get that nun from Game of Thrones on to, like, ring the shame bell.
Go back to writing about gangster grandmas. Did you see the final episode of this season of Graham Norton, though? I've just got to ask. Mm-hmm. Have you guys seen the last episode of this season of Graham Norton?
No, not really.
It's kind of one of those things that I was, like, dipping in and out of.
If you get a chance, watch it, because it's got... it's got Hugh Jackman and Sir Patrick Stewart and Sir Ian McKellen, and it is one of the best episodes I've seen of the Graham Norton show. It's wonderful. Nice. It's wonderful. Just the three of them, because they've been working on these X-Men movies for 17 years. They've basically been working together on and off for 17 years.
X-Men 1 came out in 2000. Oh, God, I feel so old.
Yeah, but the thing is,
so old. How did you feel, Rob? Like,
don't even go there. Do not even go there. Do not go there. That's a dark place. You don't want to go there. But just imagine the fact that these three have been working together on and off for 17 years, and Ian McKellen and Patrick Stewart. You know, they're like brothers now. You see it, and again. The nightly show has been usurped by Graham Norton.
Sorry, nightly show.
Best thing is, the nightly show isn't nightly, because it's not on a weekend. Well, it's not on a Saturday, and then they have a compilation show on a Sunday. So it's not necessarily nightly, it's weeknightly.
That is not the definition of nightly.
Yeah, but when you say compilation show... Are we talking like is it like Saturday Kitchen best bits that they do on a Sunday?
I don't know. I haven't watched it yet. It's on tomorrow.
All right. Okay. We're expecting a report on that next time. Is it my turn now?
It is your
turn.
Right. Okay. And me, I am heading to Sweden because it's time for the show that I have been putting off for a while. Sorry, guys, but... This is Modus, which is another one of those Nordic noir TV shows. And I can't remember which channel this was on. Was it on BBC Four, was it?
Probably. BBC Four are the ones you usually go with the Nordic dramas.
And this one is a psychological thriller directed by Lisa Siwa and Mani Masarat. And it's pretty straightforward in a sense, but it's also... Right, okay. A lot of these Nordic noir things, TV shows, they take a lot of their stylistic sensibilities from shows like The Killing. And so you have like these drawn shots of the city, you know, this brooding city, and lots of kind of clear shots of people. And you know the kind of style I'm talking about.
Yeah, the thing I've always wondered about that,
yeah,
is that a thing that all Nordic dramas do now because The Killing's been so successful?
I think it is.
Or do the BBC look for that kind of drama and go, that's the kind of drama we're going to bring to the UK because The Killing was so successful?
Well, I think because The Killing was so successful, it's a little from column A and a little from column B. Because don't forget, we had The Bridge and Follow the Money and... A few of those others.
Oh, I remember Follow the Money.
I know you did. I know you do. Sorry.
I also remember The Bridge because it's like one of my favourite TV shows, but oh my God, Follow the Money.
See, The Bridge was great. You know, The Killing and The Bridge were great. But Follow the Money, you reviewed yourself and it wasn't that great. Modus is kind of, it's good but not at the same time. Right. Let's get into this. This whole thing, Modus, kicks off with basically, it's about a story about a serial killer. It's a psychological thriller about a serial killer, right? And it starts off with, well, a killing, obviously. Someone gets killed. And in the opening episodes, you meet the character of Inga Johanna Vick, who is, she's basically one of the actors from The Bridge. I can't remember her name. What was her name? Melinda Kinnaman. Melinda Kinnaman, it was. She plays the role of Inga Johanna Vick. And she is a, you know, she's a divorcee. She's got two daughters, Linnea, who's articulate and quite energetic, and Stina, who's somewhere on the autistic spectrum. And she has trouble expressing herself with words. It's kind of like what we were talking about with Sheldon earlier, right? But this one is done a lot more sensitively. But...
wow, it's almost like laughing at people because they have mental issues isn't cool.
Yes, it is. But anyway, Inga is a former Swedish National Bureau of Investigations and FBI profiler. And she's a also a psychology professor and a first-time author. So apparently she is somebody who can get into the minds of killers.
That old chestnut.
Yeah, that old chestnut. So, and it's basically what happens is she's gone to a hotel because her sister is getting married. And this leads to this line that does not make sense to me. I have to bring this up. The line is basically, Inga, because she's divorced, says, "I believe in the lust of the flesh and the incurable isolation of the soul. That's why we marry, to make that loneliness bearable." And then the first murder happens.
That almost sounds like a line from someone trying to parody Scandinavian drama.
I know. And this is where it all gets weird, right? Because the killer kills somebody, but Inga's daughter, Stina, who's autistic, she witnesses the murder and she's running away from the killer. Or rather, she's walking away fast from the killer and the killer's walking behind her. She runs onto the main road and is about to be hit by a truck, but the killer saves her and then puts his finger to her lips to tell her to shut up, you know, don't say a word, because the killer apparently knows that this kid is a kid who's not quite okay, has some issues, maybe autistic. The killer apparently knows this. I'm thinking...
To be fair, like, you could probably work that out from if she just saw you murder a guy and, like, rather than screaming, just kind of walked off.
Yeah. But the thing that kind of bugs me is that we know who the killer is from the beginning of the series. And the series tries to play this trick where you have Inga, who starts working with a detective called Ingvar Nyman, and they start working together and in order to solve this case. But it turns out that the bodies start piling up because what they have is a serial killer, right? And it's not until a few bodies in that they realize what is actually going on. The serial killer is basically killing people who are homosexual and have a certain degree of fame.
Oh my God, serial killer. It's 2017.
Yep.
Get with the times, man. Gah.
Yeah.
Some people. Such backwards attitudes to murdering large numbers of people.
Yep. Basically, we're expected to believe that this whole killing spree is being carried out by somebody who has been inspired? Is that the word you want to use? Inspired? By a homophobic sect in the US who have this weird credo, which is something like 6 for the price of 1 or something like that. And apparently he...
That is a good bargain.
Yeah, and apparently the killer's determined to carry out these killings at apparently any cost. And I'm going, well, hang on, that can't be right, because if it was at any cost, then the killer would have killed the kid at the beginning.
Yeah, that's the complete opposite of at any cost.
Yeah, exactly. And so this is the thing. There are confusing elements in this series, and there are these continuity errors that appear. And I've got to say, the kids are fine. The child actors are fine. They're okay. The problem is the adults. The adults just can't seem to figure out that this is serious. There are people dying. It's tragic, man. It's tragic, but everyone seems so. Well, it's a little bit of what you had in Apple Tree Yard. There's a lot of misery going on, and there's not much levity to balance it. And everyone's so super serious, it actually kind of becomes hilarious at times, because everybody is being so serious.
Yeah, because everyone's just frowning all the time.
Yeah, it looks like there's some scenes where it looks like someone's farted and everyone's trying to figure out who did it.
Yes, I love scenes like that.
And I hate to put it in those terms. But
is it like lots of just them staring at each other with no dialogue?
Yes. You know, with that slight accusation in their eyes.
I know the exact kind of scene you're talking about.
And I don't know why this has become a thing in Nordic Noir. There are other shows that they could bring over. You know, Swedish TV has a whole gamut of TV, of shows that are actually better than Modus. Now, Modus reminded me a little bit of Seven in a way, but not quite.
You mean the film?
The film, Seven, yeah. But only from the fact that the serial killer was trying to kill seven people. Six for the price of one, kind of thing. Or thereabouts. There was a numerical figure attached to how many people the serial killer was going to kill. But I didn't like the fact that it was arbitrarily homosexual people. I didn't like that. I didn't think it was necessary to have it as that. It could have been something completely different.
To me, that sounded just kind of a bit of a boring motive.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It could have been a much more interesting motive. The camera work is really good. The dialogue isn't good. The acting is okay. But overall, it's just a common or garden psychological thriller. You could take it or leave it. It has its continuity errors. It has problems kind of following what is actually happening in its own story. And it has this weird idea that Inga has to be smarter than everybody else.
That is slightly annoying when shows do that.
Yeah. It becomes this really, really kind of pretentious, oh, look at me, I'm going to philosophize about life because I understand how people work, and I understand the loneliness of man, and I understand how criminals think, and I understand how killers think, and yet my daughter witnessed the killing, and I show very little empathy to my daughter, who may be autistic.
And what's this even sound? Like, sounds like a very common Scandinavian drama. It sounds like a really common, like, American crime drama with the, oh, we've got a killer and the only person who can solve it is the incredibly smart person.
Yeah.
Who's so much smarter than everyone else.
Yeah. I mean, it has some moments where it actually gets a little bit interesting. One of the people killed is a bishop called Elizabeth, and she's married. She's got two grandchildren, son and daughter-in-law, and she's killed because she's in the closet as being gay. And her husband, if I remember rightly, her husband chucks her laptop in order to try and hide the truth about her being gay.
Yeah, that's an interesting moment. But
that's what I mean. It's got some interesting moments, but these are just moments. That's all they are.
Just moments in the rain.
Yeah, exactly. So, Modus, it's difficult to recommend, I'll be honest. If you're going to try and get into Nordic Noir, then watch The Killing or The Bridge.
Because those are the good ones.
They are the good ones. Modus isn't, unfortunately, one of the good ones. I can only recommend this to people who really, really, really love psychological thrillers and aren't too fussed about things like acting or writing or stuff like that.
I like that. It's a recommend if you don't care about the fact that it's not very good.
Yeah. Sorry, but that's the best I can do with that. It's just not that good. All that waiting for that.
Well, on that anticlimax, let's end the show.
Yeah. It's been quite a depressing what we've been watching this week.
Yeah, I think you had the best of the bunch, Andy.
I had a positive, negative.
No, you had a positive, but only until Graham Norton comes back. Which I believe is in 8 weeks' time.
Yeah. Well, gosh, What a coincidence.
So, yeah, let's end the show there. We'll see you all on the next interesting episode of On the Box. But until then, I have been Rob.
I've been Andy.
Surprise, he was Rob and I was Andrew.
Yes, yes, yes.
Pat yourself on the back if you got it right.
Yes. You know, you can have a cookie. You're allowed to have one. If you don't have cookies, we're not buying them for you.
Yeah, just tell your parents we said it was okay.
Yes. Also, this episode was brought to you by Arnold Schwarzenegger and the letter B.
Thanks for listening.